But we're in a celebration mode because Paul was in a celebratory mode as he was writing to the Colossae church. And last week we looked at the fact that Paul identified the church at Colossae as saints and the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And he used the word grace. And that word grace is to be a word of celebration. God has done so much in our life, period. Not because of what we've done for him, but he is just madly in love with us. And when we understand that word grace, the unmerited favor of God in our life, that God opened our eyes to see his son Jesus and all that he done, has done for us and gave us the faith to believe what he did for us on the cross. That ought to motivate us, inspire us to live our lives for him, because it's all about what he has done for us. And when we appreciate that word grace and who we are in Christ, we're going back to the Tupperware this morning, okay, in a moment. Where we are in Christ, you know what? That ought to give us great peace. And no matter how bad the boat is rocking in our life, God has got this. God has a plan and purpose in it all, and we just need to hang on for the ride. Because, baby, he's hanging on to you. And he's not going to let you go. That's the grace of God. So we looked at that last week, and this church was caught up in the grace of God, and they believed the gospel was the truth. They had faith. And as a result of that faith, they had hope. God had given them a hope that this wasn't all there was. The best was yet to come. And it motivated them. It filled them with hearts of love for one another. And that's who we celebrated yesterday in Trinity, was Aline Payton. She manifested the trifecta, the top three of the Christian life, what characterized the Christian life. She was a woman full of faith, hope, and love. She didn't just love her family. She loved the church. She loved God's people. She loved everybody. And that's descriptive of the church at Colossae and how we are to live our lives. Now, this morning, we're going to look at Paul's prayer. And we're going to look at verses 9 through 14. And this is a good prayer to pray. Maybe you're here this morning and, you know, you've heard about the fact that, you know, as believers that we need to pray, and but you don't know what to pray. Well, this is a good model right here for all of us in this passage of Scripture. So let me begin with verse 9 this morning. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light, in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What is Paul praying for in this passage of scripture for the believers at Colossae? Number one, he's praying that they're going to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. The knowledge of God's will. Now understand, the backdrop of this text is he is addressing a heresy that's in the church. There's Gnostics in the church who are belittling the saints, who are talking down to them, who are saying, you know, you're not, Christ isn't good enough. There's more that you need to do. They're insulting their intelligence, their faith. And Paul is saying here, may you be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And when it comes to God's will, there is no secret society. There's no secret formula. There's no hocus pocus. There's no holy underwear that you have to put on to get closer to God, to be one with God. You need to know the knowledge of God's will, and that God would fill them with the knowledge of His will. That word filled in the Greek is pleroo, and it means to be saturated by the knowledge of God's will. And when you look at this word pleroo, it's in the passive tense. That means it's not something they do. That's something that's done to them. This is what God fills their minds and hearts with. It's done to them. So to know the knowledge of God's will, church, Christian, you don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have 4 or 5 years of seminary. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to go to Bible college. You just need to be hungry for the things of God in your life. How are we filled? Well, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, one of the Beatitudes says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled. You are hungry for the things of God. God will do this in your life as you go to His Word. Look at Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water, so I long for you. I thirst for God, the living God. So to be filled with the knowledge of God is asking God for spiritual wisdom and understanding. Don't get caught up in learning facts about God. You know, don't be ashamed if you don't know all 66 books of the Bible. You know, don't be embarrassed if you can't win a Bible drill. That's not what's most important. What is most important is knowing the heart of God and who you are in Christ and all that Christ has done for you. And when you get hungry and thirsty for the things of the Lord, He's going to show you more of Himself. Be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life, which leads for the purpose of number two and what we see in Paul's prayer. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Paul's prayer for the Colossae is that they would walk in a manner worthy, pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be walking in a manner worthy of our calling, one that honors and pleases the Lord. God's not interested in us trying to cram as much information as possible into our brains so that we look super intelligent spiritually. We don't read this Bible for more knowledge. We read God's word for transformation. If it's all about knowledge, guess what? Knowledge leads to pride. Knowledge puffs up. But love humbles us. And so that's our calling. That's walking worthy of our calling, is learning to live that we might live a life of love and caring for those who are around us. So what does a worthy walk look like when we look at the word love? Well, number one, it means bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. Now, this isn't something that you just do once and check off the list. Okay, I've got that, so I can go on to something else. No, this is a present participle. This is to be ongoing in our life. We need to be bearing fruit for every good work, looking like Jesus as we do good things. What kind of good works are going on in our church? You know, it's really easy to look at our church, and we're a busy church, and you know, when our eyes aren't on Jesus, we can learn to become very negative. We can look at things that aren't happening rather than things that are happening. And there's a lot of good things that are happening in our church. You know, Monday nights, we have a group of ladies who come before dinners on Monday nights, and they open up the clothing closet, and that place is really busy every Monday night. How many people did you all minister to, serve this last year? Was it over 300? 378 people. And so, you know, they're loving those who come in to that clothing closet. 378 people. That's a lot of people. And they're all taking clothes with them. That's only the ones that take clothes. And if you go into that clothing closet is stuffed. So that means you all are donating clothes to the clothing closet. So that's a special ministry that is a blessing to people in our community. And then the people who work in the kitchen every Monday night, and Pat Ryan is back there, and she is so passionate about this ministry. She's just as passionate as Karen was when she began the neighborhood suppers on Monday nights. That thing is so well organized, and the life groups that come through there and serve those dinners every Monday night. There's love. There's joy. That's the bearing of good of fruit through good works. Yesterday, our women's ministry had the pottery lady. There were 75 plus women here over the weekend. And I'm sure Lori got a lot of sleep this weekend in preparation for that conference. No, there's a lot of work that goes into that. But what a blessing our women's ministry was to the women in our church and the women in our community. And they did that out of their heart of love, bearing fruit for good works. As we're sitting in this service right now, there's adults in our children's ministry who are working to make that children's hour as unique and as special as it possibly can be, to convey the truths of God's word to the kids of that age group. There's bearing of fruit unto good works going on in our children's ministry. I think of our Homebound. We have some faithful volunteers. We don't have a lot of volunteers, but we have a faithful group of volunteers who go to those in our church who can no longer come to our church because of physical limitations, and be a blessing to those who are still part of our church body. We need more volunteers. And if you want to participate in our Touch of Love ministry, that connection card this morning, you could just take that connection card and write your name, phone number, and Touch of Love, and we'll get in touch with you as how you can serve in that ministry. But I think of MOPS. There's a group of moms that come on Tuesday morning who are desperate for fellowship with other ladies in similar life stage. And while all those young moms are in the dining hall, we have volunteers in the mopettes taking care of those little ones so that moms can enjoy themselves. That's an important ministry. While I'm talking right now, or I'm going to pause, have you noticed something in our church where someone is bearing fruit unto good works that you would just want to acknowledge among us this morning? And as I'm just going to give us a moment to do this, and I'm going to ask the video venue. We're going to pause. And if you know somebody in the video venue that you want to just stand up and say, hey, I've noticed someone bearing fruit unto good works by such and such, let's just take a moment and celebrate what God is doing among us. Who would be so bold? Yes, Debbie. So the children's choir, yes. Yeah. Who else? Dennis. Amen. Team Togo, yes. Anybody else? Yes. Brinkmeyer, uh-huh. Right. Yeah, she's going to be putting together that Valentine's banquet for the senior adults. Labor of love. Thank you, Diana. Anybody else? Karen? Yes. Huge, yes. Amen. Huge blessing to those who have experienced loss. And I would say Debbie Cray, she was humble and didn't talk about the Bible Club ministry at Pierce Elementary and the other elementary schools, but I was at Pierce Elementary just a few weeks ago sharing a Bible story, and I saw Barbara Lamberth and Debbie Crace and Ron Merritt there. Loving on those children and sharing the gospel with those kids at that school. We could go on and on. And so I hope that wasn't too awkward for the video venue, and we'll bring you back now. But there are a lot of people bearing fruit unto good works. And I just want to encourage you to not be on the sideline. God has created you, God has wired you to do something unique in the body of Christ. And God wants you to use his gift. And there's a place for you. There's a place for all of us to serve. And so, in bearing fruit unto good works, that's walking worthy of our calling. The second thing that we see in walking worthy of our calling is increasing in the knowledge of God. What do you mean increasing in the knowledge of God? Didn't Paul just pray for that? Yes, he did. But you know, as we begin to serve, as we begin to live out the way God has created us to serve and worship him, we're going to continue to increase in that knowledge of who God is in our life. You know who the person is that learns the most in a Bible class? If you're teaching a Sunday school class or a life group, you know who learns the most? The teacher learns the most. If you're here this morning and you just feel really kind of inadequate with the Word of God and you want to grow, a great place for you to start would be in our children's ministry. You know, in learning those stories and sharing those stories with the children, guess who's going to learn the most? Yeah, you are going to learn the most. And so as we step out, as we do what God has called us to do, you know what? He's going to give us more. We're going to learn more. But we've got to obey what we already know what to do. John chapter 14, verse 24, 23 says this. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." As we obey what God has shown us, Jesus says the Father and himself are going to come and make their home with us. He's going to show us more of who he is. So what is it that God has told you to do, but you haven't acted on yet? He's not obligated to show you anything else until you've obeyed what he's already told you to do. One of those would be baptism. Are you here this morning and you're a child of God? Christ is in your life, but you've never followed through with believers' baptism? Why not? That's the next step in following Christ. Now, it doesn't make you saved. No, it's just a testimony. It's a declaration of who Christ already is in your life. And he commands us to be baptized. How about tithing? You know, God's word is clear that we are to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And the first fruits, the first 10 belongs to him. And the Bible says, bring all the tithe into my storehouse. God says, test me now in this, if I will not bless your life. Are you obeying in that area? As we step out and obey what God has told us to do, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of who he is. Paul also prayed for the church of Colossae that they would be strengthened. Strengthened in three different areas. The first is endurance. You know what? We all go through tough times. And that word endurance is referring to circumstances. And it means to stay under something. He's praying for hupomone. That's the Greek word for endurance. That we'll hang in there. That we won't quit. That's a good That's a good thing to pray for the church family. That's a good thing for you to pray for your pastor and the leaders of your church. It's a good thing to pray for your children, that they will have endurance to continue. Hupomone. Then he also prayed for their patience. Endurance refers to circumstances, and patience refers to people. You know, be praying that that we won't give up on each other, that we'll be there for each other, that we'll be patient with one another. So endurance, patience, and then Paul also prayed for joy. Joy. We need joy. We need joy in all circumstances, especially in the most difficult of circumstances. What's that verse in Nehemiah? Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." When you can have joy in the midst of difficult circumstances, you know what? God is giving you strength. God is giving you endurance. God is giving you patience. You're growing in the grace and knowledge of who God is in your life if you've got joy. You got joy this morning? Man, we need joy. I've got a little video I want to share with you this morning. It's a video that most of you are probably familiar with. It was a very popular video about a year and a half ago. It's the most watched video ever watched on Facebook. And it's the Chewbacca mom. She bought herself a Chewbacca mask. This gal is full of joy. And you know, I found out something as I came across this video this week, is that she is a worship leader at a church. Okay, so beware, Allison. This is what's going to happen in your life as you continue as our worship leader. But let's watch this little video now.
Hey, I'm really excited to share with you something I got. This is part of my birthday joy, still rejoicing in my birthday. And so here's what I got. I'm going to take it out of the box. And I can't wait to show you. Okay, I'm going to play glasses for it. Oh, naturally. Okay, here we go. So, yes! Now watch when my mouth actually moves. That's not me making that noise. It's the mask. Here, listen. It's a simple choice.
Oh, why in the world did I show that in church? It's good to laugh occasionally, church. You know, Paul prayed for joy. And the believers, the Christians, the Christ followers, should be the people who have the most joy in life. Why? Because our hope is in Christ. God's got this. He holds us. Let's be people of joy. You know, for some of you, you need to remind your face that you can be a person of joy. Really? Paul prayed that Colossae would be people, they would be walking, they would be living a life worthy of their walk, their calling in God. And that they would be people who would be enduring, they would be people who were patient with one another, and they would be people who were full of joy. Now that doesn't mean that we just walk around with a phony smile on our face all the time and just pretend like everything's okay. No, sometimes they're really hard. And that's where the joy of the Lord has got to be our strength. There's a deep-seated knowledge that God is in control of your circumstances and you can trust Him. And let me just remind you of this Tupperware, okay? You can have joy because here's you and your life, Jesus is in you. Okay, Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Bible says that you've been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, last week, my life group said, I didn't use enough duct tape. More duct tape, Pastor. And so I just want you to understand that when it comes to the sealing of God, nothing is going to unseal Christ in you, the hope of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I can't do this very well, but you know what? You are sealed. You are sealed really, really good. And nobody is going to take that seal off. So that's one side. So that's a little bit of duct tape. And I'm going to take more duct tape and put it around again. You just need to get the fact that God's got you. You don't have Him. You are sealed. I can't even tear the... Oh. Christ in you. But that's not enough. Not only is... Yeah, go ahead and clap. Yeah, get excited. Joy. I know I look really stupid right now, church, but we gotta get this. Not only is Christ in you, but you are in Christ. And not only is Christ, not only are you in Christ, but Christ is in God. And guess what? He's got you. He's got this. He's over you. He's under you. He's around you. He's in you. You're not going anywhere. And Paul wanted us, Paul wanted the church at Colossae to know this. He said, Colossians, don't let anybody look down on you. Don't let anybody convince you that Jesus isn't enough. And you've got to do 100 different things to get close to God. No, God has done it all for you. And your responsibility is just to believe the truth of the gospel. This was Paul's prayer. Praying for joy. And then he also prayed, be thankful. Why be thankful? Be thankful because He has qualified you for the inheritance. Giving thanks to the Father, verse 12, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. What did we do to be qualified? It was just our faith. It's not our diet. It's not our Bible knowledge. It's not any good works? It's faith. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that it's his grace that gives us the faith to believe in him as well. So you don't have to go through a bunch of hocus pocus spiritual exercises to get God. It's simply by believing. I want to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14 again. It'll be up right here on the screen. But this is what Paul says. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. We're marked, we're sealed, we're promised the Holy Spirit, and this is the guarantee of our inheritance. We are qualified for the full inheritance, not because of me or you and what you've done, but because of the grace of God. And the Bible says when we come into a relationship with Christ, verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We go from darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You know where we read of the beloved Son in the Gospels? When Jesus was baptized, God from heaven, his heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know what? And so when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That doesn't happen at baptism. Baptism is a picture, is a spiritual picture of what has already taken place in your life. But just know that God is well pleased with you when you obey him. You take that step of obedience. This is all his grace. And I just want to remind you of the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. When Saul was king of Israel, when Saul was killed, there was going to be a transition of power, and David was going to become, he was the anointed king. But there was a lot of calamity that was taking place at the death of Saul. People who were loyal to David were going around and killing all the relatives of Saul, so that there would no one who would claim to be heir of the throne who was related to Saul. This didn't please David. David punished all those who did that on their own volition. But there was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan was the closest. Jonathan and David were close friends. And Saul and Jonathan were both killed. And one of the servants of Jonathan when they heard that Jonathan had been killed along with Saul, took Mephibosheth and ran for, just got Mephibosheth into exile, okay, because he was a fear of his life that he was going to be killed. And while they were fleeing, Mephibosheth was dropped, and he was lame. This happened when he was about 4 or 5 years old, and he was lame for the rest of his life. Well, when David had become king, he wanted to know if there were any living descendants, relatives of Jonathan, because he wanted to honor Saul by honoring Jonathan, who was very close to him. And David found out that Mephibosheth was still alive. He was living in exile. David said, go and get him. Bring him to my home, and Mephibosheth is going to eat at my table for the rest of his life. I want to do this in honor of his father, and it wasn't anything Mephibosheth did. It was all the grace coming from David. You know what that is? A picture of the gospel. That's a picture of what God has done for us. We were lame. We are lame. We can't make our way to God. We are all sinners. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, in his great grace, chose us and said, you come with me. I want you to eat at my banqueting table for the rest of your life. In fact, it's forever and ever and ever. That's the good news, church. And Paul prayed that we would get this. And we would appreciate this. And this would transform our life. Not so that we could walk around and say, look how special I am. Look how much I know. No. But that we would love. That we would love every person that comes into this room. Looking for bread. And showing them the bread of life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace. And God, we don't understand it all. I pray that, Lord, Paul's prayer would take effect in our life. That we would desire to be filled with the grace and the knowledge, the spiritual wisdom and understanding of God, who you are and all that you've done for us, so that we might love, that we might endure, that we might be patient with one another, that there might be a deep, abiding joy that, God, you've got this in spite of whatever's going on around us. God, our lives are hidden in you. And that, God, that we, that would be reflected in how we treat each other. And that we would love like Jesus, you loved us. Thank you, Father, for this time. And we ask that as we leave this place this morning, that we would have a greater appreciation of who you are. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing.